respect. Life's just like that, but needs to catch your neck. I'm a Greyhound and guitar man, this is.
Bernard, host of Synchronicity, Friday mornings at 9. Join me as we explore topics like health and wellness, prosperity, inner peace, the law of attraction, and more. Tap into good vibrations to start your weekend feeling uplifted and optimistic. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Fridays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Good morning. Welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for joining me yet again. I'm so happy to be speaking to you this lovely morning. And we have lots going on the show today. First of all, you might be listening on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network and wherever you're listening from. Welcome to the show. If you want more information about this show, you can visit my website, spiritualshow.com. And today we have two guests on the show. First, we'll be speaking with Chris Bennett, and he is an author, a minister, a marijuana activist. He is the author of Cannabis and the Soma Solution, Sex, Drugs, Violence, and the Bible, and Green Gold, The Tree of Life. So we're going to be talking to him about his views on marijuana and how he believes that it is the tree of life and that it is used spiritually and mentioned various times in the Bible. So we'll be talking about that in just a moment. And then coming up about 20, 30 minutes into the show, my buddy Frank Butterfield is going to be on and he's going to be channeling the Communion of Light. So if you have a question for the Communion of Light, you can give us a call when he's on. The number to call in is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So without further ado, let's bring up our guest. Hi, Chris Bennett.
Hi, Maria. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good. So tell us, first of all, you are a marijuana activist. You're involved with the Church of the Universe.
Yeah, that's right. The Church of the Universe is a church that formed in 1969 in Hamilton, Ontario. Then the basic tenet of the church is that cannabis is the tree of life of the Book of Revelation. I'd had a religious experience prior to joining the church before I even knew about the church, about this same thing, and then found out about the church and joined it in about 1991, I believe.
Okay, and so how did they determine, I mean, what made this church start to believe that marijuana is the tree of life?
Yeah, well, for the church itself, initially, what happened is they were basically hippies, you know, in the 60s, and they were having these gatherings, and they found at these gatherings, whenever marijuana was partaken of, that the conversation always turned to matters of a spiritual intent, and they really felt it facilitated that kind of vibe at their meetings, and so they started using it as a sacrament, and deemed it the Tree of Life.
And so, Chris, when you are, I mean, I can see that people who smoke marijuana may sometimes have spiritual experiences, and I believe that some people do smoke it for that specific purpose, to get into a state of altered consciousness so that they're not focused on the regular daily things that we normally focus on. But, I mean, don't most people just smoke it to get high?
Well, I think you're talking about contemporary use, but the use of cannabis for spiritual purposes goes back at least 5,500 years from archaeological evidence. They found evidence of ritual use of cannabis from the Ukraine from 3,500 B.C. and from about the same period in France in Bellamy at Goat Island, a famous mound that was used for observing the moon. And then they found a 4,000-year-old temple in the Karakum Desert on the border between Afghanistan and Russia there. And half that temple, which was the size of a football field, was used for preparing a sacred drink that had cannabis in ephedra in it. That is now known to us as soma. They found evidence in China of the ritual use of cannabis, archaeological evidence, going back at least 2,700 years. And in India, it's still used that way. It has been throughout the whole intermittent period. You could go to India today and walk down the streets of Calcutta and see sadhus smoking chillums of ganja in honor of Lord Shiva, who's the oldest god on earth and who is, in fact, the lord of bong, which is cannabis.
Very interesting. And so what about now, part of the reason that you, I believe from what I've read, that you are advocating the legalization of marijuana is because you believe that when the government says you can't smoke pot, that means that they are trying to make nature and natural things illegal.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, like plants are a natural right. And when we're talking about cannabis, you know, it's like air and water, you know, it's like making air and water illegal. Plants are part of the natural earth. And and humanity's relationship with cannabis, we know from archaeological evidence of hemp fibers from Taiwan, goes back at least 12,000 years. And by some standards, based on tools used for decorting hemp, it goes back 25,000 to 50,000 years. And this puts it at the time of humanity's great leap forward. And in fact, some of the top endocannabinoid experts in how cannabis works within the human body, are now speculating that cannabis may have played a facilitatory role in the time period known as the Great Leap Forward, when humanity came up with things like the wheel and tamed fire and things like that, and may have helped present man with some new novel ideas and concepts.
That's interesting, because some of the research that I've read on marijuana, and of course it affects everyone differently, but some people are actually, it negatively impacts their mood and their mental health.
Well, you know that in fact marijuana causes an increase of brain cell growth. And you know, if you want to talk about mood enhancement, take a look at the whole Rastafarian reggae movement. People like Bob Marley and Peter Tosh and Jimmy Cliff are just known for their happy nature, or people like Willie Nelson and Snoop Dogg, you know. There's so many examples of bright and cheery people that use cannabis. People have problems like depression and anxiety. Most people are covering them up with pharmaceutical drugs. I would say that, you know, there's an ancient Chinese quatrain from 2,500 years ago, and it goes, first a yin, then a yang. No one knows what I do. Jade buds of holy hemp for the one that lives apart. And I think that in many ways, people have ups and downs, and they swing in between that, but cannabis kind of keeps you on the middle road.
Well, I think that I saw something on the news, and I don't know, this could just be, you know, fear.
Mm-hmm.
But it was something to do with schizophrenia, I believe.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's a lot of debate about that. In fact, Stephen Harper invested during the peak of our recession there and economic woes. He invested over $500,000 with an evangelical minister to establish a link between schizophrenia and cannabis. And, you know, it's kind of ironic because what could be more schizophrenic than the evangelical cosmology with all its different discarnate entities and stuff? And it's important that that's why government, like, there's all these medical studies going on right now, finding about cannabis' effectiveness in treating cancer and other diseases. But the government seem more intent on focusing on establishing negative links. And that's because they have to put a scientific reason on their moral arguments against it. And the same thing happened in India in the 19th century when the British Raj came there. They arrested many marijuana smokers and put them in mental asylums.
Interesting. And so how do you feel? I mean, you're obviously very open about the fact that you use marijuana. And in British Columbia, it's not a super big deal, but I do know people who've been arrested and now have criminal records just for having enough pot on them for personal use. So.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I have friends in jail and correspond with people in prisons in both the United States and Canada. And, you know, it's a travesty. Like I say, this is like a natural right, a beneficial plant, probably the most beneficial plant on the planet when you really look at its uses for paper, fuel, fiber, the nutritional value of the seed, and the wide variety of medicines that it was used in prior to Prohibition. And it's a total travesty, and it's all based on morality. In fact, in Canada, when cannabis became outlawed, via Janie Canuck, the famous feminist Emily Murphy, she used racism clearly to as propaganda against cannabis. Talked about the dark-browed races seducing the bright-browed races with cannabis, and recommended public whipping and whatnot for the distribution of the substance. So this is how it was outlawed. It wasn't outlawed using science or facts or anything like that. It was outlawed using racism, and those laws are old, outdated, archaic laws, like witch-burning laws, that need to be changed.
And so now, Chris, when you talk about how we have a right to the, because it's a plant, we should have access to it, just like air or water. But what about things like heroin or cocaine? That, I mean, they
come
from plants.
Well, I'm not talking about chemical extracts, but coca, the coca plant, is a very beneficial plant. It has all sorts of nutritional qualities, and it has been used by the people of the Andes for thousands of years, 10,000 years, they believe. And it's got, you know, all sorts of good qualities. It's when you take certain elements out of it, the natural leaf, that the problems arise. And poppies, they're like humanity's oldest painkiller. The problem isn't with poppies, it's with heroin and morphine and things like that. Poppy teas are consumed the world over and have been for thousands of years without the problems of heroin addiction and morphine addictions.
So it sounds like you're okay with the use of a plant in its natural state.
Yeah. I don't want to be an activist for, you know, things like methamphetamine and crack cocaine, but plants, the plants of the world, it's a natural right. Most of the deadliest plants are legal. You know, anybody can have them. You can actually grow poppies. And poppies aren't illegal. It's illegal to ingest them, but it's not illegal to grow them and have them in your garden. Yeah, it's crazy that there's a law against any plant, I think. The only reason there should be a law against a plant is if that plant's endangered, and it's a ways of protecting our collective inheritance.
And so let's talk for a second about what's your experience or opinion on peyote. It's a natural plant.
I think peyote's you know, an incredibly powerful sacrament that, you know, has been used by diverse cultures, Native American church. In Canada, actually, peyote is legal. They were going to outlaw it, but they would have had to create an exemption scheme for the Native American church. And when they were constructing the law, they worried that this may open it up to religious exemption arguments on the behalf of Rastafarians for cannabis.
But as far as I know, peyote is kind of a cactus, right? It probably doesn't grow naturally here, does it?
No, it doesn't. No, but you can grow it in greenhouses, and people have it for sure. I've sold them in my shop.
Very interesting. Okay, so some people are now going to want to know where your shop is.
Oh, my shop's called The Urban Shaman. There's a website, urbanshaman.net. And it's on 307 West Hastings. I actually share a space with Mark Emery's Cannabis Culture headquarters.
Awesome. Okay. And so we just have a few minutes left to talk before Frank Butterfield calls in. But I noticed you have a blog post on your website. Was Jesus a stoner? So let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, the biblical references to cannabis are very interesting. This is something that had been being a topic of discussion decades before I was born. A lot of this information goes back to the work of an etymologist working in Poland, Sula Bennett. An etymologist is somebody who studies the origins of words. And she said there were these Hebrew references to cannabis under the Hebrew name cannabosum. And this cannabossum, which means fragrant cane, is how it's translated in modern Bibles, was part of a holy anointing oil. And it was mixed with myrrh and cinnamon into about a gallon and a half of olive oil, about 6 pounds of it. And every time Moses was to speak to the Lord, he covered himself in this oil. And THC, the active ingredient in cannabis, is fatty soluble, and your skin's a big organ with cannabis receptors in it. So some of it would get in that way. And then he would also place some of the oil on the altar of incense and speak to the Lord in the pillar of smoke over the altar. The pillar of smoke is actually referred to as Shekinah and represents the physical presence of God. And so when you throw cannabis into that scenario, Moses becomes like an ancient shaman who, like shaman in South America and Africa, ingest psychoactive plants and interpret the revelations of those plants as actual events and information coming from the divine. And this use of cannabis continued throughout the Jewish period, but was prohibited just around the fall of the Jewish kingdom period, but reappeared in the early Christian period. And the term Christ itself is the Greek translation of the Hebrew term Messiah, which means the anointed one. And for the first few centuries AD, I don't know how much you know about early Christianity, but there were all sorts of Christian groups, many now known under the collective name of Gnosticism, which were in competition with the Church of Rome, which became the Roman Catholic Church. And these other groups used cannabis anointing oils and incenses, but these were prohibited by the Roman Catholic Church, and this led to the Dark Ages when all the other pagan cults and competing Christian Gnostic cults were outlawed.
And so, Chris, let's talk more about your, do you call it a religion, the Church of the Universe. I mean, I'm sure there must be more beliefs than just pot.
Well, the central belief is that cannabis is the tree of life from the book of Revelation. The idea of the concept of God and stuff is for the individual to come to through their own means. And that meaning that this is like a Gnostic church, where instead of, like, say, the Catholic Church, where it's all based on faith and people are taught what to believe by priests and bishops and popes, the focus of the Church of the Universe is on the individual acquiring their own knowledge of the divine, and cannabis facilitates that.
And so for your own personal use, Chris, I'm curious, when you smoke, do you always smoke with the intention of contemplating and meditating, or do you smoke because it's pleasurable, you want to relax? I mean, what's the primary reason?
I'd say the biggest comparison would be like with a prayer, where, you know, you might pray before a football game or before an office meeting or anything like that, and it sort of gives me some sort of like divine guidance and inspiration and a sort of connectivity with wider humanity. I always have that intent when I use it. I don't have a particular ritual, but I have, you know, a lot of knowledge about cannabis, and I'm sure that affects the way it affects me. You know, you mentioned earlier about people using it recreationally, and I don't think that, say, the sadhus in India, who I mentioned earlier in reference to their use of chilums of hashish in honor of Lord Shiva, are getting quite the same effect as some hip-hop fan who's playing Grand Theft Auto and smoking a blunt, you know? And a lot of that's intent. And in fact, when cannabis was a medicine, they sometimes had these really powerful extracts, but there was very few people that reported getting high. And that had to do with because they just interpreted the effects as the effects of their medicine and that they were feeling better and feeling stuff like that. So a lot of the way that cannabis affects you has to do with your intent and motivation for using it. It's kind of an active placebo.
And so I'm curious, Chris, what are some of the, if you don't mind sharing, what are some of the revelations that you've experienced through your marijuana use?
Well, I'd say that it really helps me when I'm researching and stuff, you know, looking for the right angle. And it's like I could tell you about my original religious experience. This was before I was even into the study of religion or heard of the Church of the Universe. This was in 1990. And basically what had happened is the whole Mount Cashel orphanage thing had happened, where they started finding out about these Catholic priests molesting kids. And I was wondering what the hell was going on with this, so I started reading the Bible. And then coinciding with this, I found out about all the industrial applications of hemp for paper, hemp for fuel, you know, replacing cotton, all this type of stuff. And I was BC's first pot activist. The Gulf War started in Iraq, and this is what led to me reading Revelation, because Saddam was being compared to Nebuchadnezzar in the news, the last king of Babylon. And one night, I was about 3 in the morning, I was working as a night watchman, smoking a joint, and I saw this newspaper clipping from Pat Robertson. He was giving a sermon, Revelations 18, the fall of Babylon. So he was tying in the Gulf War with the book of Revelation. So I thought, oh, I'm going to read the book of Revelation right now. And I started reading it, and the prophet John, he's given a scroll, and he eats it, and it tastes as sweet as honey in his mouth, and he swallows it, and it turns bitter in his stomach, and he begins to prophesize. So I was like, whoa, buddy's taken something, obviously. And then there were all these references to incense for the prayers of the saints and billowing clouds of smoke and sackcloth, and I was like, this is really weird. And then I got to the last verse of the book of Revelation, and it said, on either side of the river of life stood the tree of life, bearing 12 manners of fruit, yielding its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And when I read that, I had this powerful experience where it was like light poured into my body, and the voice of God was like, yeah, that's cannabis. Cannabis is the tree of life, you know. And after that, it was like the light switch moment of my life. Everything changed. And at first I doubted it, and then I started researching it and looking up stuff and started finding out all this great information about the history of cannabis and its role in religion. So it panned out for me.
And so, Chris, now I'm curious. You mentioned that there's no ritual that you use, but you have an intent. So obviously, I mean, you this time that you were reading the Bible and you had smoked marijuana, do you normally read or sit quietly, or what do you do? You just go about your day?
I use it for inspiration to further my goals with cannabis. You know, I take a look at what, you know, these different religions can offer the world and what politics can offer the world. And then I think about what cannabis can offer the world. You know, when we were naked with the fiber of its cloth, it dressed us. And when we were hungry with the most nutritional single source of omega oils in the world, the cannabis seed, the most nutritional single source of food for humans, it fed us. And when we were shaken with epilepsy and dying from cancer and other ailments, it eased our pain and helped us and medicated us, you know. And when it came time to meditate, it facilitated that too. You know, it's no accident that the god of yoga and meditation, Shiva, is the god of cannabis, because cannabis facilitates that state of mind so well.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing your views about the Church of the Universe and about marijuana. And again, where is your shop?
It's 307 West Hastings. And if people want to find out more about my writings, they can check out forbiddenfruitpublishing.com.
Wonderful. And is there anything that you would like to add?
Yeah, you know, like when you have a chance to vote out there and you see bills coming up like Bill S-10, this conservative bill that's going to put people in jail for a year for growing any more than five plants, for over a year for making hash brownies, for over a year for making hashish, vote no on that. And vote no against those parties, those control freak parties like the Conservative Party, at a time when Canada's had its lowest crime rates in years, who plan on spending $8 billion on new prisons for unreported crimes, and that unreported crime being every time that somebody lifts a joint to their mouth. And that's how they plan on re-sculpting Canadian society.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that, Chris, and take care. Good luck with your activism.
Okay, you too. All the best.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. So again, that was Chris Bennett. If you want more information about his books and his writings, and there's videos, and he used to do pop TV, you can find him at forbiddenfruitpublishing.com. And up next, we're going to speak with Frank Butterfield, and he'll be channeling the Communion of Light. And if you're wanting to speak with the Communion of Light today, give us a call, 604-822-2487. We'll be back in a moment.
Ever thought about volunteering with Big Sisters? Maybe now is the time. Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland provides girls aged 7 to 17 with a champion, a mentor who's there to simply be their friend and cheer them on. Become a study buddy tutor and spend 1 hour a week helping your little sister learn to love school. Or become a Big Sister and spend 3 fun hours a week just hanging out with your little sister. If you're age 19 or older, please visit bigsisters.bc.ca to find out more. Maybe now is the time.
13 Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks for joining us. We just spoke with Chris Bennett. He is a marijuana activist and a minister with the Church of the Universe, and they believe that marijuana is the tree of life mentioned in the Bible. And now we are joined by Frank Butterfield. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Marie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. Enjoying a beautiful, beautiful morning here in Austin.
Wonderful. It's kind of gray here, but enjoying the day just the same. And so it's been quite a while since I've had you on the show. Please tell us what you have been doing to further your work with the Communion of Light.
Well, a lot of different things. I had a wonderful tour back in the summer that took me up to the northeastern U.S. and up into southeastern Canada, and had a great time from New York City all the way around up through Montreal and over to Ottawa, and had just met some wonderful people, had some great sessions with folks there in person doing live workshops, and had a really great time. Really, really amazing stuff happened. And so doing that and gotten very busy with social media and online presence, and we've started a membership site on our website, communionoflight.com, and we're doing three or more actual audio calls a week. They're about an hour in length, and they're always amazing. They're always amazing. We've got one this afternoon, in fact, that I'm really looking forward to on the topic of money, and just doing a lot of work with a lot of different folks. And one of the things that I'm really enjoying is how I'm able to, because of the internet and because of just the way technology is set up, I've got clients all over the world that I'm working with, and they're all just, every single person I work with is amazing. So it's really, the core of it is just, I'm having a whole heck of a lot of fun.
Well, that's amazing. I love that. It sounds like you're following your passion and enjoying what you do, and what more can you ask for?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
And so
exactly it.
I want to put that number out if someone wants to get on the air and speak with Frank and the Communion of Light. The number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. You can call and we'll put you through. Now, before we bring forward the Communion of Light, Frank, do you mainly focus on the Law of Attraction, or what does the Communion of Light mainly want to focus on?
Well, they are very clear. They're not teachers or healers. They are reminders. So what they, everything is probably, will sound very Law of Attraction, things that you've heard in other arenas with other teachers, physical and non-physical, as they like to say. But they'll say that they're not teachers. They are just here to remind us of who we really are. And if you really, we've got this huge growing archive, and you can just listen to hour and after hour of all sorts of interesting conversations. And what the pattern is that's so clearly emerging is they just keep turning people back to their own inner guidance and saying, look, your inner guidance is working fine. Here's some clues as to how to work with it. And the main clue is, how do you feel? And that's just really the core of it, and it's amazing. Because every time I think, okay, someone's asked this question before, they come up with a completely different answer, because every person they work with is a different person, and so they're not canned answers, they're not stock answers, they're just really meeting that person right where they are vibrationally. That's really the core of it.
So should we bring them up, or how do
you want to do this? If you're ready, absolutely, lots of fun.
Okay.
Anytime. So, yeah, it takes me, won't take me nearly as long because I'm kind of half in there already. and we'll just scoot right in. You'll hear my voice change a little bit and sounds a little bit different, but I think everyone will find it to be a very interesting little journey that we're about to go on.
All right. Well, while you're bringing them up, I'll put that number out again. So if you would like to speak with the Communion of Light, give us a call, 604-822-2487, 604-822-2487. Hi, are you there?
Indeed.
Hello. And so the Communion of Light, I'm curious, what types of questions do you give people readings, or what kind of questions do you feel that you're able to help people with most?
Well, the way we like to approach our conversations with any one of our physical friends, that whether it's part of a collective conversation where there's a group of people together or whether it's just an individual person who's speaking with us, what we really like are the nitty-gritty questions, the things that are happening right there on the ground with you today in your life. And so if you're coming to us and you're asking us a question, what we really like is for you to get right down in it and not, we don't like so much what we like to call the New Age namby-pamby kind of language where everyone's trying to be very lofty and very and sound very correct. And we understand why you would do that. But what we really want you to do is to say, look, this is my life. And what we're going to say is, yes, it is your life and it is your creation. And there are aspects of it that you may not like. And we want to talk about those because what we can do is we can sit with you and offer you opportunities to see how it can be different and how you can shift from where you are to where you want to be. But our primary message is that we are here to remind you of the truth of who you are. And the essence of that truth is that you're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. There are things that you are creating because you're all very powerful master manifestors already. You couldn't be here if that were not the case. Because this is a very complex place to be. And if you really think about it, that gets quite obvious. But you're here and you're powerful and you are connected to your source and all is well. It's just a matter of turning your attention to the power that is within you, which is based on your thoughts, the vibrations that you're putting out, the vibrations that you're receiving, how you work with that. And each of you have your own very particular way of doing that. And so when we talk with you individually, we really love to kind of ferret out exactly how you do what you do already, because you're already living your life quite brilliantly, even the ones who really don't like what's going on. You're doing a really good job of creating a lot of things that you don't like, and so you can really harness that power and turn it to the direction of where you do want to go.
Wonderful. Again, if you want to get on the air and speak with the Communion of Light, the number is 604-822-2487. Well, I would like to ask you a question about our previous guest, the first guest of the hour, Chris Bennett. His views are that marijuana should be legalized, which I have no problem with, but I'm curious about your views of using marijuana for spirituality. So many spiritual teachers tell us that we should be clear and we shouldn't be using alcohol or other mind-altering drugs. So what is your opinion of that?
Well, our basic premise in all things is follow what feels better to you. Now, that's sometimes confused because some folks will hear us say, follow what feels good, and sometimes we do use that word. But we want to be very clear, follow what feels better to you. And if that approach is something that brings relief from where you are, which means it improves the vibrational stance that you have at the moment around any given topic or all topics indeed, then we would suggest that you follow that. But we would also suggest that you really begin to look at what it is that you're wanting. So what we really like is to see you and to be with you and to talk with you about how you yourself are not really dependent upon anything. You're part of an interconnected web of life indeed, and you're here blending realities quite beautifully with each other. But you're not really dependent upon any one thing or person for your good, as we like to say. So if you feel as though the only way that you can make a connection from here to there is to ingest an aspirin, to take a smoke of this, to take a drink of that, it doesn't really matter what it is, then what you're doing is you're narrowing your approach. And that will play itself out. The thing that we like about your physical reality as you've created it is it is a self-correcting system. So no matter what you're doing, if it's going in a direction that really becomes less and less helpful, that will become more and more obvious over time and get clearer and clearer and become more and more painful. If it is a very relieving approach, if it's an approach that is very allowing and that it's very opening, then it will just lead to more and more and more of what you're wanting. So we're never terribly concerned about specific things, and we don't really like to put ourselves in the place of being prescriptive and saying, oh, you should do this or you should do that. In fact, we rarely, if ever, do that. What we do is we suggest, you might want to look at this, you might want to look at that. The basis of all things is, how do you feel from where you are? And how does this approach, this action, this thought even, these words spoken, how do these feel as you are thinking them, as you are speaking them, as you are acting them out? We think that paying attention to that is literally the single most important thing that you can do for your own self-empowerment. We also would like to say, as a little bit of a side note on this issue, is we want to remind you that there is no such thing, from our non-physical perspective, of what you might call the spiritual or spirituality. That's like worshiping at the temple of oxygen, saying, oh, mighty oxygen, will you come to me? Because you are swimming in it. Oh, mighty nitrogen, will you somehow come and save me? You're swimming in it. You're living in it. You can't, if you did not have oxygen and nitrogen, you'd be dead. The same is true for the spiritual, the ineffable. It is from the things from which you have emerged, and it powers you. It, even if you feel completely disconnected from it, it is still there, it is still present, and it is in everything. It's more abundant than oxygen, because it is the very glue that holds all things together. So we do like to throw that out every now and then, just to see what sort of reaction we get, because we really love to see when the light turns on and someone realizes, oh, I'm swimming in it. I can't not be spiritual. I can't not have a spiritual connection. It's the truth of who I am.
That's a great analogy. Thank you so much. And we have a caller on the line if you're ready to take a question.
Indeed.
Okay, so Suzanne, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm overweight, and I have some self-esteem issues, and I wondered how I could go about helping myself with that.
Well, the first thing that we would do in your particular situation, just noticing what we're noticing in your vibration, is we would suggest that this is really not the time to be looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, I've got to get over this. I've got to fix this. I've got to make sure that this stops. And what we're noticing, and you can tell us if we're right or wrong about this, what we're noticing in your vibration is you have some sense of urgency about, I've got to get this done. Is that about accurate?
Yes.
All right. So now we know that there may be health reasons, or there may be things that other people are saying to you that are quite valid and quite helpful and quite useful. But now is not the time to panic. Now is not the time to try to go into overgear, because, as you mentioned, self-esteem, which we really like to refer to more as your ability to see yourself as who you are, which is a little bit broader and a little bit deeper than the topic of self-esteem. But that's where we would really focus things. In other words, see if you can find, and we're not going to give you nutritional advice or any sort of scientific or dietary advice, because that's just not really our realm. But what we would suggest from an energy perspective, which we think would help quite a bit, would be to see if you can find during the day aspects of your physical existence, not your body, but the physical things around you that you enjoy. Because that's one of the things that we think for you is a very quick ticket to improving how you feel about your very existence on this physical plane, which we know that's part of what's in question for you, is it not?
Yes.
So to find a way to really bind with the physical things in your environment. In other words, you might not like at all where you live, or you might not like the color on the wall or the carpet or the lack of carpet or the heat or the lack of heat or anything like that. But there's always something in your physical environment, and probably more than one thing, and when you begin to look for them, you're going to see more of them, that really do feel better to you. In other words, a particular, for example, our friend Frank has a very simple little piece of nothing much, really, that came from Italy that was given to him from a friend that just reminds him very much of the ocean and the color of the ocean, but it's probably cost all of about $10 maybe, and it's not really that big of a deal, but to hold it and to touch it feels very good. And so when Frank is not doing quite so well and is feeling a little bit disconnected from himself, what he'll do is he'll take that down off the shelf and just look at it and hold it and think about the place where it came from and the person who gave it to him and how good that feels. And you see, that very simple act, really can help you go into a better vibrational state. Now, we're not saying you're going to feel absolutely joyful when you do this, but you're going to begin to feel a little bit better. The other thing that we would suggest for you is to really, you don't have to do anything with this at all, but we just want to suggest that you think about this. How afraid are you of being angry? Because what we notice, and it's not, we notice it specifically with you, but we also notice there's a bit of a trend in this culturally, that it's better to be depressed than it is to be angry. While anger is a better vibrational perspective, in other words, it's more expansive, we like to say, we'd rather you be mad at someone else than at yourself, because that means that at least you're beginning to notice something outside of you as a way of grounding you, and that's a more expansive energy. So if you're noticing that you'd really rather not be angry, you'd rather be depressed, or you'd rather have despair, that's just something to think about and notice. I wonder, if we were in your shoes, we'd be asking the question, I wonder if it would really be so bad to sit here, not to say anything necessarily, and to just feel angry, maybe just for 2 or 3 minutes, give myself a little clock and say, all right, for the next 3 minutes, I'm just going to feel angry, not doing anything, not saying anything, not talking to anyone, but just sitting there in the chair and just feeling angry. We know that sounds very silly from a certain perspective, but that right there can also bring a great improvement from where you are. Because you're not, as you know quite well, you're not going to go from where you are to ecstatic joy overnight.
Yes.
But there are steps along the way that are going to feel better. And the thing that we think that is your sticking point is that the anger that's grounded in all sorts of things from the past and is perfectly fine, it's just part of who you are from the past. Mm-hmm. You're afraid to go through that. It's like a tunnel that you need to go through.
Yeah, and I feel not angry at other people, but I am angry at myself.
Well, what we think you will find is as you entertain these thoughts and you relax with them and realize you're not going to hurt anyone and you're not going to hurt yourself, is that you will find eventually that you are angry at other people. And when you notice that, that will be a very big improvement. Do you understand why that would be?
Because I'm taking the anger away from myself.
Indeed, because you're beginning. Now, we wouldn't say this is the way everyone should live their life, but this is vibrationally speaking, as you're progressing from a more contracted state where you are to a more expansive state where you want to be, this is one of the passages that you will likely go through. It may not look exactly like the way we're describing, but as you begin to become aware of the fact that, no, it's not you, it's them. Now, neither of those statements is correct. They're not accurate, but that's how you feel. And so if that's how you feel, that's very important. So as you're moving through that and you realize, no, it's not me, it's them, then you're also going to realize, no, actually, it's not them, it's this. And then
right. You'll
move on to something else. But to be okay with, just to be willing to entertain the possibility that moving through that sort of outwardly projected anger, not you don't need to say anything, you don't need to do anything, just sitting in a chair is actually all that's really necessary. And going through that will shift things, and you'll notice that you feel a little bit different and you feel a little bit better. We want to leave you with one last little thing, and that is we want you to understand that what we like to call the organizing principle of the universe, which has been called the law of attraction, which just simply says that what you bring your focus to, you have more of,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
is something that applies to you very dynamically. So a single thought is not really that big a deal, and even 2 or 3 minutes sitting in a chair feeling angry is not that big a deal, because there's also another aspect of what's going on, that energy is always trying to move through you, and that's a little bit more complicated topic, but suffice to say that law of attraction, this organizing principle, is already bringing to you resources, and we really want to put the emphasis on that, resources for you to use to move from where you are to where you want to be.
Yes.
So there's a combination of things going on here. There's our conversation with you, which you drew through us. There are the people and the resources around you who are trying to help you. And what we want to suggest is that you look at the ones that bring you relief and really investigate those. The ones where you feel like you're going to have to grit your teeth and really get down and work really hard are probably not right for you.
Okay.
Probably. But just pay attention to how you feel. And before you really make a decision about anything, particularly as regards to your health, we would just suggest that you sit with that for a bit. a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and just feel into it and decide, does this feel like I'm sacrificing myself, or does this feel like I'm improving? And we would only go in the direction of what feels like improvement.
Okay.
So we thank you for your very delicious question. This has been a very, very interesting conversation. We thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in, Suzanne.
Thanks, Marie.
Take care. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
So we are speaking right now with Frank Butterfield from the Communion of Light. If you would like to contact him and the Communion of Light, you can find him on Facebook, or you can look up communionoflight.com. That is their website. And if you would like to get on the air and ask a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. We will be back with more synchronicity in just a moment here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
The AMS Speakeasy provides information, peer counseling, and crisis support to the UBC community. Speakeasy volunteers are carefully chosen and trained to assist students in dealing with a wide range of issues, including relationship breakups, substance abuse, sexuality, and exam stress. To access our service for information or counseling, drop in to visit our desk on the north side of the sub-concourse. All drop-ins and call-ins are strictly confidential. We also have an online email referral service. If we can't help you, we can refer you to someone who can.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with us today. And thanks to Frank Butterfield for being with us. Welcome back to the show. Are we speaking with Frank or the Communion of Light?
Indeed. This is us. This is us.
The Communion?
Indeed.
Okay, wonderful. Well, if you would like to get on the air and ask the Communion of Light a question, just like Suzanne did, give us a call, 604-822-2487. Since we don't have any calls up on the line yet, I think I'm going to ask you a question, but I'm a little bit nervous to ask this on the radio because it's, I don't know, it feels kind of embarrassing. But I'm just going to go ahead and do it. So,
well, we're very much looking forward to your courage.
So a few years ago, I had a dream that I was going to win $50 million in the lottery. Well, in the dream, I won. I don't know if it was a prophetic dream. I would like to think that it is. So, you know, I've been kind of hoping that that would happen sometime. And a couple weeks ago, well, so I moved away about 7 months ago from my apartment, and I kind of felt I moved into a place that wasn't really acceptable for my needs, but it was affordable, and I was kind of really, it came out of fear, out of that I wouldn't find a better place for anywhere near the same price. So I moved to this place kind of out of fear, and it felt like a mistake, but I'm there now and making the most of it. But then, I don't know, just a few weeks ago, these guys won $50 million in the lottery, which, you know, that's great. Good for them. They're in Vancouver. But the thing about it is that they bought their ticket at the store where I used to buy my tickets in my old place. So I kind of felt almost like maybe if I hadn't moved out of fear, I would still be in that old place, and maybe I would have been the one to buy that ticket.
Well, we understand why you would draw that conclusion, but we do want to recommend that you take another look at things.
Okay.
So are you ready at this red-hot minute to receive $50 million and all that means?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I can see it would be stressful like the public, but I would be ready to take that on.
All right, so that's the first place where we would start, because as soon as you begin to enter into the vibration of what you're wanting, and we're assuming this is what you're wanting, then you begin to notice immediately where the pitfalls are. So now, we're not saying that everyone everywhere has to get all perfectly squeaky clean with everything, but if you're going to approach this intentionally, which is what you're doing, and you're wondering, well, how can I get there from here? First, there are two things we would recommend specifically for you. First is to begin to dream a little bit more and to see if you can find a way to line up with winning the lottery in such a way that feels really, really good to you. So we know of one person, for example, who has a similar desire and feels very, very good about it and has been thinking about this for many, many years, in fact, as undoubtedly you have. And finally, not too long ago, came up with the idea of, all right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, instead of thinking about who, what am I going to do with my money when I win, I'm going to just take out a spreadsheet, and I'm going to create a spreadsheet, and I'm going to put these things in this column and these things in this column, and I'm going to go through everything that I can think of that I would do with this money, and then as I've done before with other situations, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just put all of my knowledge about this topic into this one place, and I can save it on my computer and leave it there and then come back to it when I'm ready. And we would suggest you do something similar to that, because right now what you're doing is you're anticipating unknowns, but you can follow this. We think this is not a coincidence. You can follow the story of these gentlemen who won this lottery and see what they did and decide, well, do I want to do that? You can go online and perhaps search for stories of people who've won lotteries. And we know that it's very nice in the culture to talk about how lottery ruins you, because that makes some people feel better to think about that. But we'd go towards the stories of how it worked, because there are people who win a lottery and they do very well and they manage their money quite nice. They're just not going to be on the front page of the newspaper, because that's not a very interesting story to most people. So, but there are stories are out there undoubtedly, and you can find that information. But to find a way to really begin to put yourself in the place of, this is a very easy experience. It's just like moving from one house to another. Yes, there are some things that need to be taken care of, but I'm quite familiar with how to move from one house to another. I know that I need to call this one and call that one and call this one and take care of this and take care of that and schedule this and schedule that. And so I can just make a list and go through my list and check it off and all that sort of thing. And we'd suggest that you use a similar approach to this. We'd also suggest, our second suggestion would be to not look at this as a destiny thing, unless that really turns you on, unless it really lights you up when you think about it. When you think about that being a prophetic dream, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, but if you think about that as being a prophetic dream, and that seems to you very sketchy or very, well, it could happen, it might happen, it might not happen, I'm going to need confirmation, maybe when those ghosts get on the phone with me, they can tell me, such as we know is part of the question that you are asking, and you know that you know very well metaphysically what we're going to say, which is we can't tell you the answer to that question, because there is no destiny. There's only what you create from where you are. So you can powerfully line up with that destiny, and you can say, that was my prophetic dream, and so it must happen. And if that feels right to you and that feels good to you, then we would milk that. If that feels difficult or hard to reach, then we suggest that you turn to something that's easier to get to, such as, look, someone from the same store that I go to, that I went to, where I was, that I know about, they won the exact amount of money that I want to win. We would take that, in fact, it's a wonderful entree into a little topic that we love to discuss, which is how manifestation actually works. You have the idea, and then it begins to show up. But it doesn't always, because it depends upon you and where you are, it doesn't always show up exactly the way that you, upon noticing it, want it to. So, for example, you want to buy a car. And so you think, well, I want to buy a car. And suddenly you realize that a friend of yours just bought a car. And you think, well, now most of you would think, well, that's interesting. Someone else is buying a car. I want to buy a car. Well, that's interesting. But what we want to bring you back to is the fact that that's actually a manifestation of your idea. Now you know of someone else who bought a car, but that's helping you drive home the point. It's giving you data that helps you decide, oh, no, wait, I want to be the one who buys a car. Not just anybody buying a car. So that brings it more home. So then you're thinking, well, I want to buy a car, and then you go down the road and you see the car that you want, and you realize, oh, well, there's the car. Now I want to be in that car. And then you might go and you might test drive the car, and you get behind the wheel, and that feels really good because that's a manifestation of your idea. But then you realize, okay, I want to be driving this car, and I want to own this car. So that's then the next thing. And then before you know it, then you're going in to the office and you're paying your payment or doing, and you're getting right there into the ownership of it. And all of those different things, some of that, sometimes that's been called driftwood or twigs and branches or signs of land, but all of those things are really manifestations of your idea, and they're all helping you get clearer and clearer because they're the manifestation of what you were capable of receiving right at the moment. So the dream that you had was the manifestation of what you were capable of receiving. We want you to understand that from a vibrational perspective, from what we see, you're already there. Now, you just need to find a way to get okay with it, and you already have said, and maybe that's changed just in the matter of these few minutes, but you've already said, well, that's a stressful thing, but I can manage it.
Well, I mean, okay, when I say stressful, I mean any major change in your life, like you said, moving, I mean, it's just the same as moving to a different house. There are going to be positives and negatives of every experience and every choice that you make. I mean, if I go on vacation...
Well, we disagree with that, though. There are positives and negatives because you're declaring it.
Okay.
So just like your house move, just like it with your house move, where you knew this isn't exactly what I want to do, but I'm going to do it anyway because this is really, I'm afraid to really trust for anything more than what I can see right now in front of me. Isn't that you saying, well, there are positives and negatives? In other words, you have the ability.
I mean, that place, whatever, but if I had moved into the perfect place, there would still be the day where all my stuff is packed and I can't find, you know what
but
I mean? And I have to move and that's, I find that stressful.
But here's the thing we're saying. With each of those things, you can line yourself up with each one of them to remove the stress or to change the story or to make a game of it or to find a way to get someone else to do it for you. We wouldn't ever suggest that you settle for positives and negatives. Now, we understand why that can be better than just thinking it's all negative. That's definitely improvement from that. But then once you're there, then we suggest, well, you could go a step further. It all can be positive, or at least can all be easy, or it can all be something that just seems to flow through you, even though you don't necessarily like all of it, every single aspect of it. You take the time. And we mean time, we mean 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, to line up with it and to think from a meditative state or from a very clear state, look, this can be really easy. Everyone's going to show up on time. The people are going to do exactly what I asked them to do. It's going to be very simple for me. And we're just going to go right through it. There are a whole number of tools that you can use through that, such as affirmations or visualization or pre-paving or anything that you can think of. But we would suggest, you see, when you're, and we're not picking on you, although we are, because, of course, you've courageously come out on a limb, and we're going to help you with saw it off. So here you are out on your limb, and what we want to say to you is that lottery is within grasp. It's so within grasp that it's happening right under your nose. And not only is it happening under your nose, it was quite a famous little thing, was it not? It wasn't just that these nice people won the lottery, it got a lot of attention, didn't it?
Well, here in Vancouver it did, yeah.
Indeed. So it was a very famous thing, and it was a really big thing, and it was right there under your nose, right in your face. To say that that means you missed the opportunity is to miss the point. To say that that is an indication that it's going to be a whole heck of a lot of fun for those newspapers and the television and the radio and the person who owns that store when another person walks in there and gets another $50 million ticket. Because don't you think, and if you really spend time thinking about how much fun it's going to be to talk about, well, I was the second one, and I saw the first one, and I said, that's the place where my ticket is, and I'm going there again. Because that's the store I always go to, and I've always dreamt that I was going to win exactly $50 million, and here I am doing it again. And so imagining that you're right there, it's not stressful, it's really easy, that people are interviewing you and you're talking to them and they're writing down your story and you're saying, look, I just decided one day, it happened before, it can happen again. This is my sign that this is going to happen for me because there are too many things that are coincidental. And these coincidences don't mean that I missed the boat. They mean that the boat is coming, and it's right here, and it's right on top of me. So that's where we would go. We would never turn this into how this is how it didn't work out, or you missed the boat, or you didn't line up with it, because it's always a new beginning, every moment, always a new beginning, always a new possibility. And for the more mundane things that you were talking about, the positives and negatives, you have an excellent opportunity right here, if you want, to just begin to start thinking about, what is it that I'd like for things to get better, just in the small things? In other words, for example, I'd really like to move into a place that I like better. I don't know how that's going to happen. I'm in the middle of a lease. I'm in the middle of a contract. I'm in the middle of this, or it seems like it's impossible, but this might be a really fun game to play, to see, all right, where do I want to live? It doesn't matter how much it costs. Where do I want to live? What do I want to see out the windows? Do I want to be in a nice, snug little cottage somewhere? Do I want to be high up on the top floor looking out across the water? Do I want to be on this side of the bridge or on that side of the bridge? Do I want to have a long commute, a short commute? What do I really want? And just start dreaming about that and start pinpointing it and looking in the newspaper and going online and going to visit these places and combining with them and not paying attention to how much they cost. Just decide, this is what I want. And then when you find the one that clicks, the one that feels like, this is it, this is, it's that wonderful combination of it's a dream and it feels very real, it feels very possible. Doesn't matter how much it costs, but I'm just going to focus on, this is what I want. And then begin to line up with it. Just do whatever little thing it is that comes to you that says, this will bring me a little closer. And they're not going to be big things. Let the universe arrange it for you. But you need to be very clear about what you want and stick to your guns. Do you see what we're saying?
Definitely, yes. So it sounds like you are saying that it's more about the choice that you, what you choose to focus on, rather than trying to make sense of things that have happened.
Indeed. In fact, we would say the past is worth about as much as the papers you could write it down on. The past has very little to do with anything that's going on right now, other than the extent that you're bringing it forward. And you have always an opportunity to change everything from right where you are. You're not going to change everything immediately. You're not going to change everything in just the flash of light. But what you are going to do is find ways to feel better on any topic. That's something you can always do. And the things that we lined out for you, that we suggested, you don't have to do any of those things, of course. But we know that from where you are vibrationally, there were some of those things that we said that really lit your fire, where you thought, oh, I want to do that. I want to go try that, even though it's really silly. I want to go look at that penthouse apartment that I would really love to live in, and I'm going to go dress myself up to the nines, and I'm going to just go present myself to them, and I'm going to go say, I'm here for the apartment. And they're more than happy to give you a tour and show you what it looks like. And won't it be nice to be walking around as though you were someone who can afford this, if that's what you want? But just trying on different hats and telling yourself a new story about how it is all working out and it is all getting better. And these positives and negatives are all turning out to be positives. They're all turning out to be, it's just turning out to be so simple. And the things that you don't want to do, someone else wants to do for you or magically get lined up for you. And by magical, we don't mean in some sort of whimsical way, but what we mean is that you decide, this is how it's going to be for me, this is how easy it's going to be, and then you begin to notice how easy it is becoming. Those two things combined together are extremely powerful.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much to the Communion of Light. We are just about out of time, so I'm wondering if there is anything that you would like to add before we bring Frank back.
Well, we just want to say this, that we always enjoy these conversations, and we've certainly enjoyed taking up the saw with you and hammering off your limb and watching you fly away off to your delightful, delicious, lottery-filled experience. And we thank you so much for the delicious time that we've had with you. And until the next time that we are able to do this, we do bid you a very fond farewell.
Thank you. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Marie.
How you doing?
Great. That was nice.
Yeah. Suzanne called in, too, from Facebook.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So we're just about out of time. Your website, again, is communionoflight.com, and you are on Facebook as Frank Butterfield, as well as the Communion of Light. Is there anything that you would like to add before we wrap up the show?
I just want to thank you so much for having me. It's always so much fun to talk with you. And, you know, Canada's my favorite country, if I've not said that before. And I hopefully will be up in the area before too long and hope to get you, to meet you in person and meet some of the wonderful folks there in Vancouver.
Yay. Do you ever go to Hay House I Can Do It events?
No, I haven't. Is there one coming up to Vancouver soon?
Yeah, I think it's like the first one ever. It's in, I think, March.
Wonderful. Well, that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll come up. We can go for coffee and hang out.
Awesome.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thanks, Maureen.
All right. Thank you, Frank. Take care. Have a great day.